off guard.
You want me to redo that whole thing? You want me to pretend to do it again?
No, if it's not natural.
Because it totally was natural before. We could just tell them what happened.
Yeah. Welcome, everybody, to the 49th minute of the Blade Runner Minute. I'm Pete.
And I'm Sandra.
And today, we're going to talk about Deckard in the manufactured animal market and the half-naked ladies that are dancing at the end of the minute. I like
the half-naked ladies.
The half-naked ladies that show up at the very end of the minute.
I was not impressed.
Those are my notes. Now you go.
Okay. Now I told you I'm going to be quiet this whole minute.
Are you going to leave it all to me?
Even though I have notes, you gave me junk for...
Deckard taps on a storefront on the glass, and he's welcomed in by a man with a snake wrapped around him, and he's also wearing the 11th Doctor's fez. Deckard says, Hassan, artificial snake license, XB71. So they're not in the black market. I was wrong about that. I remember in the last minute or two I said, oh, this seems like some kind of seedy, shady, underground black market, making my own, like, meth lab version of replicant building. But it's not. These people are licensed. Are you really going to be a jerk
and not talk? You don't like it when I do that, right?
No, nobody
does.
So
next time, don't give me heat when I'm writing notes during my lunch break.
So he questions Hassan. Hassan is resisting a bit. I can't make out the lines. I can't make out what Hassan says to him.
Yeah, it's very muffled because it's a very interesting shot because we're seeing it through that fish tank where the snake, I guess it's called a snake tank then, right? If a snake's not in it, sure. And not a fish.
Sure.
So I kind of like that kind of filmmaking that you're not doing an ordinary shot. So instead of trying to fit yourself into what looks like a clearly small stall, or I'm going to say storefront because it looks more like an actual storefront.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to fit yourself into it, he's giving us this shot through the tank and it makes it very muffled. So we're hearing this as an outside observer.
Outside.
So it is very muffled. We could have totally turned on closed captioning, but we didn't. But it sounds like he's showing off his wares because, you know, when he knocks on the tank,
yeah.
The guy, like, come in, like, gestures the wall, like very, like,
it is an
like,
interesting...
grand duos, like, come in. And he comes to the door, like, look at my scarf that I'm wearing. That's actually a snake. You didn't think it was a snake, but it's clearly a snake.
That is an interesting way to shoot the scene. Why did he decide to put us on the, leave us outside while the two actors talk on the inside? Why weren't we inside from someone's perspective, Deckard's or Hassan's? Why are we the
I bet they third filmed person? It. Or, yeah, well, we're always the third person, but...
Or are we the first person now? We're someone actually looking through...
We're the snake. I kind of feel like they probably shot it in multiple ways, and it was just such a cramped space that you couldn't get a sense of it, and it didn't feel right. So they just went with, like...
He couldn't get a camera in there.
I think he just wasn't looking the way he wanted it to look, like, over someone's shoulder. It didn't look right. In between them, it didn't look right. And doing this way, he was able to pull back and put both in one shot.
I don't know why I'm suddenly reminded of State and Maine with the camera...
Through the fire.
Camera. You want me to push in through the window. How can I do this shot?
There's a stained glass window.
So he has to
remove the window.
Yeah, right, he breaks the window at night, yeah.
That's it. That I think that's exactly what happened. Like, they had this set. They built the set. They're not going to change the set. They filmed it in, like, 3 or 4 different ways. Who knows? And this was the one that he was like, okay, this will work. It's a little different.
Oh, think it was almost accidental?
Yeah. I think he was like, let's do one from here. Let's do one from here. Let's do one from here. He got them from all the different angles, and he was like...
But Ridley, we don't know what they're saying. But Governor, we don't know
what
they're saying.
You can figure it out based on their things. Like, when...
Oh, yeah, sure. We figured out because
Abdel
he says...
When Ben Hassan is gesturing to his shop,
right.
He's showing off his wares, and then Harrison Ford takes out his badge and shows him the badge, and you can clearly see he's asking and shows him the scale.
Yeah.
And he's just like, and he's shaking his hands no, like he doesn't know anything, and then Harrison grabs him by the tie.
Yeah.
Not by the snake, by the tie, and yanks him forward. Even without the words, you know exactly what's happening.
And this scene mirrors that of Roy and Leon... meeting Chu. When Chu throws JF under the bus, now it's Hassan throwing Taffy Lewis under
it's
the bus.
It's every man for himself.
These guys are just snitching each other out left and right all mm-hmm. over this town.
Exactly. So this guy's Abdel Ben Hassan. is played by Ben Astor. I have no idea what else he's in. Is that terrible?
No.
I didn't actually, like, I looked it up, but I didn't, none of them were like, ooh, look how cool he was in this.
Right.
But he did play a lot of little side roles in movies from this era. So it was probably one of those actors where you, like, you've known his face, but you couldn't place where he's from because he's always in the background.
Sure.
Scenery actors. I always called them scenery actors.
They're
actors that you, oh, like, may have a couple of lines speaking in a movie or a TV show, and you've seen them in so many, and then you see them in one, and you're like, I know that guy. He was in that awesome movie called... And you can't remember the name of the movie, and then you look it up, you're like, they've never had a starring role in anything, but I know their face.
Yeah, I know the type of actor you're talking about, and I forgot his name.
See? That's the thing.
Damn it.
Didn't they make a documentary about this? Those background actors?
Okay, listen. Who's the guy? He was the main villain in Breakdown with Kurt Russell. And he was going to testify against Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. He's one of my favorite actors.
That's not a scenery actor. He's actually been... Those are big roles. Yeah, I just don't know his name. I know exactly who you're talking about, but they're not actually a scenery actor.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. Because I was going to say, I don't agree with your scenery actor's term, but this guy playing Hassan is way not as prominent as... what is wrong with me that I can't remember this other guy's name?
Do you want me to look it up?
Yeah, might as well.
All right, so you keep talking and, like, fill the space so nobody thinks that we're just slacking on our job?
No, that's okay. You look and I'll just tell them stuff.
So what do you want to tell them?
I can't believe I can't remember his name. J.F. Sebastian. B.D. Wong. Is it B.D. Wong?
It's not B.D. Wong.
It's not B.D. Wong.
It's not B.D. Wong.
Look up A Few Good Men.
I'm getting there.
People are screaming at us over the internet right now listening to this. How could you forget B.D. Wong's name? It's not B.D. Wong.
How come IMDb is not the first thing that pops up anymore? They give me some weird gobbledygook. I don't want to look on Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't know.
There's too much stuff happening on Rotten
But either Tomatoes. Way, so we're in Chinatown now.
Is it Kevin Bacon?
No, it's not Kevin Bacon.
And it's
Bacon.
Not Kevin Pollak.
You're the worst. You don't know how to look up...
It's J.T. Walsh.
It's J.T. Walsh. I knew it was something with initials. J.F. Sebastian, B.D. Wong, J.T. Walsh. You could see where I was going with that.
Emmett Smith, right?
Emmett Smith.
But no, not J.T. Walsh. People know J.T. Walsh.
Yeah, no, that was silly of me. J.T. Walsh is way more popular and known. And is it rude of me to say more successful than this guy playing Hassan? Because I don't recognize him from anything else.
Maybe. I'll give you that. The documentary I'm talking about, that guy who was in that thing. Have you ever seen that documentary? It's all about those kinds of actors.
Oh, no, where is it? Where do you find it?
I don't know where we can find it.
And that's what
it.
It's called? It's called The Guy That Was In That Thing?
Yeah.
Not the people that were in that thing?
No, the guy that was in that
thing. So there's no women involved in the show?
I don't remember.
The documentary? That sucks. And then we switch over to the really busy Chinatown streets. It's a great shot. The cars, the people, the neon signs. It's busy, busy.
Oh, so that documentary, sorry, it talks about Matt Malloy. If I say Matt Malloy, you'll be like, who? But you go and be like, I know that guy. He's been in all that stuff.
Isn't that the same guy from Friends? Is the lettuce dirty?
Yes.
Is it very dirty?
Yes. You see, he's been in a lot of little things,
are
right?
Are those tomatoes firm?
And the only reason you remember that is because we just saw that like 2 weeks ago, not even.
Right.
But he's been in a ton of stuff. And like, if I started naming names, you'd be like...
But you can't say the same about this guy playing Hassan, right?
But for that time period, it was. It was in like the 60s and 70s. He did a whole bunch of little things.
Okay. And nothing we would have known at all? You didn't look?
Maybe some stuff you would have known, but I don't know his face from any of them.
Okay.
I looked it up and I was like, I would be hard pressed, but I can double check because I feel like I'm doing him a disservice and I kind of feel bad. Like, he was in Bye Bye Birdie. You wouldn't have seen Bye Bye Birdie.
No.
I saw Bye Bye Birdie because I'm a nerd, but you did not see Bye Bye Birdie.
No, I didn't see
He was Bye born Bye. In Palestine. Does that help any?
I've never been to Palestine.
I know you have never been to Palestine is missing out because you haven't been there.
Well, thank you.
You would have painted the town all shades of red and green and purple and zigzags. But Ben Astor,
Ben Affleck?
No, Ben Astor I knew from Bye Bye Birdie, but I don't know how much stuff you would have known him in because you're not that person. And by the time we were born, like, he did a couple episodes of Mission Impossible. He did Dragnet. He did an episode of Andy Griffith Show. Like, a whole bunch of things. An episode. He was the Moldovan Prime Minister in Batman. There you go.
That's where I know him. Oh, in Batman 60...
Yes.
What was it, 6?
Yes. He did a whole bunch of that kind of stuff, but you wouldn't have known him. But yeah, he was the ballet manager in Bye Bye Birdie.
There you
He was the attendant in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
There you go.
He was Warzek in The Untouchables. He did he did a lot of Russian consulate, Moldovan prime minister kind of roles.
Oh, so we do know him then.
He's you wouldn't think of him and be like, oh, he was the guy in that movie. He was the Swiss innkeeper in an Alfred Hitchcock episode.
That's fine.
But a ton of stuff like that. So he's that Mike Malloy guy. You know, he's the, is the lettuce dirty? Are you going to, are the tomatoes firm?
Flip that. Flip that phone so you don't destroy my charging cable because you flipped it over. And again, one more time. There you go.
Seriously, bro?
Yeah, because that's how people damage their cables. And I don't know what happened. Because of stuff like that.
Because of slightly twisting it when you pick your phone and put it up down? Not slightly twisting it.
That was a 360 degree twist. Okay.
Then you should mark what's up and what's down.
I knew it, just by looking at it.
I think you should take your little book of calm and feel better, and then you'll be calm about your cable being twisted.
Look for the pleasure in calm. Unlike muscle building, techniques for creating calm work better... What?
I want to read that one.
Learn how to read and you will be more calm. No, you're not reading more.
I think your next podcast series should be you reading from the Little Book of Calm. He literally has the Little Book of Calm sitting on his desk from the show Black Books.
It's not from the show Black Books. It's a popular book.
But that's where you heard of it.
It's a bestseller book.
Is it a bestseller?
Yeah.
It was on the best-selling list. Which list?
Little Book of Calm. Full advance to follow. Thoughts to inspire. Open any page. You'll find peace. Secrets for Calm by the best-selling author of Instant Calm. Over 2 million copies.
He is a best-selling author of that book. Other
over
book.
2 million copies.
Of the other book, not of this book.
This is like the miniaturized. Don't grab my book. Makes me uncalm when you do that. All right? You stress me out. That's your why I need this book to begin with.
I want to see one.
Sip of peppermint. If you substitute an herbal tea such as peppermint for more stimulating drinks such as coffee and tea, your ability to be calm will be enhanced many times.
You drink a lot of herbal tea. You're not calm.
I'm very...
Can I see one?
God
I'm not
damn
gonna,
calm.
I'm not going to grab it. I want to see it.
Do you want to talk about this movie at all?
I do.
Are we completely...
I want to read one. I want to read one because this is fascinating. Sip warm water. A glass of chilled water will calm you more than most other liquids.
You just said warm water.
Yeah. A cup of warm water will calm you even more.
Whoa. Okay, that's enough.
No, so you can drink cold stuff or warm stuff. Did you hear that? Drink cold stuff or warm, and it will make you calm.
So now we're seeing inside Taffy Lewis's place with the girls dancing with the Jason masks on. And the little bras are inside this, like, plastic tube.
They're wearing bras that have, like, these feathers or furry things on top. And then, like, the glitter bikini bottoms.
We're in a whole new environment now.
Yes. So they're go-go dancers. They're in, like, a tank as well. But they're wearing these weird hockey masks.
Yeah.
So Jason's not a turn-on for me.
Future masks. It's the future.
Okay, they're clearly hockey masks.
It's the future.
And they have a thing over their head as well. Yeah. Almost like the way hockey players have the headgear to protect their whole heads from getting hit into the goalpost.
You mean like a helmet?
No, because like it's just a foam piece that looked like as a crown. So it was odd because it didn't look like there was a back piece to their helmets that they were wearing just now. But maybe those were the hockey masks, the goalie masks at the time. Like in the 80s. I don't know what hockey masks looked like back then. Like if there was additional gear on your head for a goalie. Why are you silent like that?
Because it's a weird thing to see these girls dancing with hockey masks over their faces. Why is that in this? Why is that happening?
Because their faces don't matter.
Whoa!
All these old movies are real painful for girls. Like they really subtly and not so subtly told us that we don't matter. Mm. Our physical matters, but our faces. You guys even had that term, right? The butterface? Isn't that what they said when we were teenagers?
Girls have the same terms. Girls have the same terms.
Yeah, but you are more likely to see a girl marry a schlub of a man than a man marry a schlub of a girl.
I don't know about that.
Maybe. And listen to the way I'm set out, like men and girls, not men and women. It's all very subtle. But this is not so subtle, this movie. We clearly, in this movie, do not respect women. Like, let's... And we know that even later on as well.
You want to update the Deckard's path, where he's been, where he's going, the way we used to update the replicant path, where Ralph and Terry were going. What are their names? Roy and Leon.
Well, we skipped a little piece here. You immediately went to the nightclub with the go-go dancers. But right before that, to the cop. Yeah, right before that, yeah. We had again an aerial push-in shot of like a street scene with really busy cars.
Oh, I said that. I didn't skip that.
And there was an Anaco Mart, I guess.
A what?
Like a little grocery mart. It was called Anaco.
Okay.
Anaco, A-N-A-C-O, Anaco Mart. It's their version of a 7-Eleven, I would assume. Why are you looking at me like...
Because I thought that said something else.
What do you think it said?
I don't know, because I didn't write it down.
There was also one, I think there was a shot of a sign that was R-I-P-Y, Rippy, Rippy, I don't know how they would pronounce
that. Sure it wasn't part of another word? Okay, no problem.
I looked up the still shot, too, just to double check, but it's really clear the name of the market. Okay. And I just like that they did another aerial. They keep setting up the world. The world building is really good in this movie because we saw some of Animoid Row. We keep seeing city streets and he keeps giving it to us. There's no reason to give us a city street because it was a real quick cut.
Yeah.
From, I was about to say his real name, from Abdel Ben Hassan's. Yeah. It was a really quick cut from Hassan's. To the street, and there was we didn't really need that street scene, but
they just did it earlier when he left the
right. They keep using these street shots for world building, and I love that Ridley Scott is doing that. And that's probably why this one of the main reasons this movie's so lasting. When you build worlds, people really cling on to like the Harry Potter books. You built a world, Lord of the Rings, they built a world. There's a lot there for us.
Well, it's common practice. You show up on Tatooine, you show the wide shot of Mos Eisley, then you show up, they go to Cloud City, they show the wide shot
You're naming a successful sci-fi or fantasy, whatever you want to call movies. It's the movies that aren't successful that we don't talk about because they don't do world building. It's the ones that last, they built the world for us. Even Fifth Element, like, we only had one movie for it, but people love that movie.
Yeah, they did a good job.
They could have made a whole bunch of them or without...
It showed you the whole world.
Yeah, they could have made them without city, Bruce Willis, Dallas. And they still... People would have loved it. They love Dallas Multipass. They sell that freaking Multipass.
I know.
But they do this quick shot, and I had this... It's really noisy, and it's really crowded. The streets are bumper to bumper.
Yeah.
I don't know how people would drive there. I can't even begin to imagine how people are walking down these streets because it's so crowded with cars. But why are they driving? Why are they not flying? Didn't I ask this before? Like, are all car spinners?
Are all...
And you said the thumb thing,
right? All thumbs are fingers, but not all fingers are thumbs.
Right? So all spinners are cars, but not all cars are spinners.
Correct.
That's what I have to keep reminding myself, because clearly, if you could fly instead of drive, why would you be on the street?
And replicants are replicants because Frankenstein's monster is Frankenstein's monster. These are the lessons we're taking away from this podcast.
I don't like this logic. The logic is flawed.
Which one?
All of it.
You agreed with the Frankenstein's monster
thing last time. I don't know. The replicant thing will always sit weird with me because I don't have a clear definition of replicant in my mind. But that's the point, right? You're not supposed to.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
But as a very logical and analytical person, that just doesn't sit right with me. Like, I can't do abstract art. I'm really good at following patterns.
Well, good thing you're co-hosting the Blade Runner podcast with me.
It's not abstract.
No, there's nothing abstract about Blade Runner at all.
I'm the logical part of this. You're the abstract of like, look at the flurry things. I'm not even paying attention. I'm not even taking any notes. I'm just going to woo, woo, woo. And I'm the straight man. I get that. I'm like, this is the facts. In Dragnet, I would be just the facts, ma'am. That would be me.
Facts are spelled with marshmallows.
Was that a good s'more popsicle that you just had?
It was fantastic. And then I went and forgot my bowl of candy that I was...
But you had a giant s'more. How was it? How was the chocolate?
It was graham cracker and a marshmallow on a stick dipped in chocolate. Oh,
yeah. And sprinkles?
And sprinkles.
Do you think Gemma will let me eat her since she doesn't like chocolate?
No, I'm probably going to eat the rest
of them.
No,
you can't. Oh, look at the cute face.
I'm going to eat the rest of them.
No, I want that one. At least the bite. I gave you all those Kinder chocolates yesterday.
So we're in Taffy Lewis's place, I'm assuming?
We Half Naked Ladies? But we don't know. We just know it's Half Naked Ladies. We don't know if it's Taffy Lewis's place. This could just be the place he hangs out.
The settings are changing. Things are changing. Now that we see these women dancing, it's a totally different
You see atmosphere. A lot of people very dressed up. They look wealthy. They're wearing...
Now? Or in the next minute?
No, in this minute.
Might be the next minute.
Oh. No, it's in the next minute. You're right. Because we see the go-go dancers and it stops
on
the go-go.
Do you have both minutes on one page?
No. But we see the go-go dancers and we stop at the go-go dancers with the weird hockey masks. I wonder if that's what goalie masks look like in the early 80s.
Deckard's trying to find out who made this scale that he thought was a fish scale.
Are you going
to
do his timeline backwards?
I'm doing the timeline.
Backwards?
You want me to do the whole timeline?
Yeah, do it from the beginning.
From the beginning?
Yeah. Recap.
It was November 2019. Deckard was pulled out of retirement because Holden... McGroin was shot by Leon, a replicant. So Deckard was sent to Tyrell to interview a replicant that he didn't know was a replicant, and then when he found out she was a replicant, he's now become smitten with this replicant that he didn't know was a replicant. And now he's looking at pictures and then found something that looked like the scale that he took out of Leon's tub, and he sees a woman's picture... face in that picture, and he's putting two and two together. He wants to find out where this woman is, because she is connected to this, what he thought was a fish scale, but now it's a snake scale.
Because he talked to the Cambodian lady.
With the long mask. And she sent him to Hassan. Hassan said, yep, it was my snake. I sold it to Taffy Lewis in Chinatown, and now Deckard is going to Chinatown. I'm assuming that's where we are.
Big Trouble in Little China?
When we see, oh, that's a good movie.
Can we stop calling this Deckard in a nutshell? This little thing that we do every once in a while?
Yeah, like, replicants in a nutshell, Deckard's in a nutshell.
Deckard in a nutshell.
Deckard's in a nutshell. And that's where we are. Deckard's looking for the snake lady.
The snake lady.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us this week. And thank you for joining us. Next week.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for this episode.
We'll see you
next episode of the Blade Runner Minute Podcast. I'm Sandra.
And I'm Pete.
Thanks again. My bad.